Robert B. Parker was a master of the mystery form. He had scores of books to his credit, three main PIs. One, of course, Spencer, then there was Jesse Stone, and then there was Sonny Randall. Following his death several years ago, at least Spencer and Jesse Stone were given to other writers to bring those stories into the future, but not Sonny Randall until now. Mike Lupica, who is a longtime friend of Bob Parker's, as well as a New York Times bestselling author, as well as a popular sports journalist, has now written his first installment in the popular series. It is called Robert B. Parker's Blood Feud. It is an amazing story where the stakes are higher than ever as Sunny races to protect her ex-husband and his mafia family from the vengeful plan of a mysterious rival. Mike Lubica is a sports journalist and the New York Times bestselling author of more than 40 works of fiction and nonfiction, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mike Lubica to the roundtable this morning. Mike, how are you?
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for that very nice introduction.
Well, it's nice to have you on the program. I've made no bones about it. Bob Parker was one of my favorite authors. He was one of my favorite people. He was a friend and somebody I greatly admired. And I always wondered, that's kind of interesting that this story, the Sonny Randall story, never went on as quickly as the other two did with Jesse Stone and Spencer. And lo and behold, here you come. So how did that happen?
Well, the long version of this story is that Bob Parker and I became friends before we became friends because I picked the Godwolf manuscript off the shelf at a Brentano's, now gone, on Boylston Street when I was at Boston College. And that began a 40-year love affair with these books. I have literally never taken a plane ride anywhere since I started reading the first Spencer novels, where I didn't have at least one Parker book, because I always live in fear that I'm going to end up over Kansas with nothing to read. So I would always know that no matter what, I had a Parker. And again, we were friends for the last 30 years of his life. And last summer, I'm up in Vermont, up in Manchester, Vermont. My daughter rides, and my wife and daughter are up there. And I was talking to my literary agent, Esther Newberg, the great Esther Newberg, with whom I've been since the early 1980s. And she's now the agent for the estate and for Daniel and David Parker. And I said, I was just reading Spare Change, a Sonny Randall novel, a couple of weeks ago. How come nobody ever continued Sonny? You know, Ace Atkins is doing Spencer, and Michael Brandman, and then Reed Farrell Coleman did Jesse Stone, and Robert Knott did the Westerns. She said, I don't know, I'll find out. She calls Ivan Held over at Putnam, and she calls me back literally an hour later and said, Ivan wants to know if you'll write a sample chapter. And I said, no. I have enough to do. I wasn't looking for extra work here. And she said, shut up and write the chapter. I got up early the next morning. I'm an early morning writer. And I wrote a chapter and sent it to her in the afternoon that is literally the first chapter of Blood Feud with a few minor changes. Ivan liked it. My brilliant editor, Sarah Minich, liked it. We were in business. It has been not only an honor for Daniel and David to let me do this and for them to let me do this. It began one of the happiest experiences I have ever had in my career. I'm sitting at the dining room table in this rented house up in Vermont, and the opening scene is between Sonny and Spike. And she said, do I look to you as if I'm getting older?
Right.
Spike says, this is a trap. She said, no, I'm serious. The UPS kid mammed me the other day. Spike said, I assume you shot him. And from that moment on, I knew I was exactly where I belonged. I felt like I was sitting around with a bunch of old friends who I'd really, really missed. And that was the beginning of Blood Feud.
Now, here is what I love about reading this story. And while I say this, please, and I'm giving this this to the listeners more than anybody, which is, please don't think I'm bad mouthing the other two authors who have taken on these very important franchises. But you have so beautifully captured not only the city of Boston in this book, which I do feel was somewhat missing in some of the post Bob work, but also you can tell that you're just a fan. You got the language down pat.
Well, thank you. And I always say, and again, you know, I there's no reason for you to know this. This book has gotten the best reviews I've ever gotten in a nearly 40-year career.
It's great.
Book List, Publishers Weekly, Real Books By. One of them said, and I love this one, that even if her name wasn't Sonny Randall, if this were the first novel with a character named Samantha Jones, you would want this to be a series. So that it's not sound as much as its attitude. Once I started, I just realized how much that attitude had been a part of my life. And you know what? I always wrote sports columns and political columns with attitude. You know, even now when I'm on MSNBC, it's with attitude. I felt like I had, in an odd way, I had come all the way back to the first pages I read of the Godwolf manuscript when I picked it off that shelf. And so, again, before I talk to you today, I'm standing near my writing table as we have this conversation.
Yes.
I write longhand before I type. I usually write 20 or 30 pages on these blank yellow tablets. And I'm looking down at the end of chapter 5 of Sonny 2, and I am so happy to be back in that world again.
Now, when it comes to that world, you want to take your job then, it seems to be threefold. One is to advance the story. Two, to bring it in the direction, but also a direction, your direction. And three, not screw it up.
Yeah, listen, if you're a Parker fan, you know how high the standards are.
Sure.
I did not enter into this world lightly. As I've gone around the country to talk about the book, I always say to people, listen, we're exactly the same. We love these characters and we love this book. So I am one of you. I wouldn't have done this if I didn't think I could do it. And the standards are incredibly high. And that is why I have been so gratified to hear and read people saying exactly what you just said. I came into this book and I felt like we hadn't missed a beat, that it hadn't been 10 years since we found out what was happening with Sonny and Spike and Richie and Phil Randall, Sonny's dad. And I, even the stuff between Sonny and Dr. Susan Silverman,
right,
who is obviously
Susan,
Spencer's girlfriend,
yes,
and he had brought into these books. I love those scenes. I love getting a crack at writing those scenes. But I have to tell you, I love Sonny the most, obviously, because I'm now living inside her head. But Spike is one of the great characters that ever came from the imagination of my friend Robert B. Parker. He is just so brilliant. It is so fun to write for him because I think of him as like a gay superhero.
Yeah.
But the best sidekick Sonny's ever had. And when she needs a sideman, she instinctively calls on Spike, and the byplay between them was, I can't tell you how much fun it was to write.
It's just such a neat character anyway, because he is the hawk to Sonny Randall, and yet he's a bruiser. He owns a restaurant. He's gay, and it's very interesting and fascinating and quite fun, the repartee, as you illustrated just a moment ago from the beginning of the book.
But as you see from this book, if the story doesn't keep you turning pages, then all of the byplay in the world isn't going to sustain a bad story. And I love this story. I love the old grudges and feuds and getting into that world of crime. And again, I went to Boston College. My three sons went to Boston College. I have a daughter at Boston College. So I've spent a lot of my life in Boston. And every time I'm there now, I'll just go for long walks or ride around and find, I feel like a director for a movie scouting locations,
yeah,
thinking, okay, Sonny, yeah, this would be a good place for Sonny to run into something, you know?
It is. It's interesting. When you brought up Susan Silverman, I was thinking about this when I was reading it. You know, obviously, when Bob was doing it, he was writing all the books. So now, do you have to worry about sort of continuity within, well, I still have to be true to this character that this guy is now writing?
Yeah, no. What I do is I think of, it's funny, because Esther, my agent, technically, because she is the agent, she's like the boss, okay? But I consider Ace Atkins to be the boss. So
right.
When I did want to use Tony Marcus, who another character I just love to death, and he's a big part of the Sonny that I'm writing, I called Ace and I said, can I have Tony? He said, yeah. And then I said, can I have Vinnie Morris too for a couple of scenes? And he said, yeah. But remember, Vinnie's now got an office over a bowling alley up off of Route 2, and immediately – we're speaking of them like they're real people, but guess what? To us now, they are. So yes, continuity is important. And there's one thing that I held back from this book that is a part of the new book, and that, you know, the last Jesse Stone that Bob wrote, you know, he kind of just threw in there that Richie had a child with his second wife.
Yes.
And I've kept the little boy. I just brought the little boy out of the bullpen knowing he would be a big part of book two, because there was no need. And I explained in the new book why we didn't deal with him in the previous story. So, yeah, continuity is like really important. And I said to Ace when I started Sonny 2, I said, it sounds like give a mouse a cookie. I said, can I have Tony again? And he said, yeah, the next Spencer is going to be in Los Angeles. He told me where it was going to be. And he said, you got him. And I said, oh, thank you so much.
Right. You know, what's also cool about all of this is that, so we have these characters, they go on, but you get to put you get to advance the story. I'm curious as to how much, and I've talked to Ace, I've talked to Reed, and even Robert Knott, who did the Cole Hitch Westerns, but it seems, from my understanding from them, Bob didn't keep like great notes as to what he was going to do in the future with these characters.
No, I don't think he did. I think, again, the wonderful thing about his imagination is he let it take him where he wanted to go. And I'm sure he woke up one day and said, well, wait a minute, what if Sonny and Jesse have a romance, you know? And what if I bring Susan Silverman in to, and I have fun in Blood Feud, because every once in a while, Susan will make a reference or quote a Spencer line, and Sonny will think, what's that? And Susan will just say, oh, it's something the man of my dreams likes to say, because obviously Spencer always referred to her as the girl of his dreams. And so it's, you know, it's fun to even have a chance myself to start bringing, having these other characters step out of the chorus and step into the spotlight.
Wow. So when you look at this, so overall, you're working on the next one, and do you have a contract for a certain number, or how's that work?
Right now, we're just going. I joke that with Ivan and Sarah, my editor, but I clearly have an ironclad book to book contract. But I just from the reception of number one, I think and hope this is going to be a long and happy association, and I hope that in six years we're saying, okay, you've now doubled the number of Sonny Randall novels that Robert B. wrote.
Well, it's Robert B. Parker's Blood Feud. It is, it's fantastic. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this. It was like just visiting old friends again, and I was just gleeful for the whole time I was reading it. Mike Lupica is the author. I congratulate you, sir, and I look forward to reading the next one.
Oh, thank you.
A great
pleasure.
Thank
you, thank you, thank you. Okay, man, it's great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Mike Lupica is the author of Robert B. Parker's Blood Feud, a Sonny Randall novel. It's out from Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.